It's Tuesday, January 27th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belvel. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast. I told you last week about the first raid of a medical marijuana dispensary during the Obama administration. So this week we're going to begin keeping track of how long it takes President Obama to address this issue. Already, it is day five of
President Obama DEA Raid Watch.
In 2008, candidate Barack Obama was asked about his position on DEA raids on California medical marijuana providers.
When it comes to medical marijuana, I have more of a practical view than anything else.
On Tuesday, January 20th, 2009, Barack Obama was inaugurated as our 44th president of the United States.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue.
On Thursday, January 22nd, 2009, Barack Obama's Justice Department resources were used in a DEA raid to circumvent California's medical marijuana laws.
I want folks to be investigating violent crimes and potential terrorism.
President Obama, you can redirect Justice Department resources, but so far, you've said and done nothing.
We've got a lot of things for our law enforcement officers to deal with.
Mr. Obama, shut down these raids. Brought to you by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws at norml.org, who believe it should be normal for politicians to listen to the will of the people. You can follow the DEA Raid Watch online at stash.normal.org. Check the top header for our new breaking alerts section. You can't miss it. It's pretty bright yellow. Also, we've got other new features on the Stash, including your own registered account at the Stash, which will give you access to special secret Stash items that you won't find if you're just a regular net surfer. So log on now, create your account, create your profile, and also you can include a gravatar, which is a kind of an icon that follows your name along. And as a registered user, your comments will appear automatically on posts after your first comment has been moderated. We've got a whole bunch of state bills we need to look at as far as medical marijuana and marijuana decriminalization in the United States. For taking action on all of these bills, you can always log on to norml.org and look in the left-hand side for Take Action, and we'll send you along to your state representatives and senators and provide you pre-written emails that you can send to them. Now, looking just north of me in Washington State, two bills have been introduced, House Bill 1177 and Senate Bill 5615, a companion bill, which are to decriminalize marijuana possession, somewhat similar to what happened in Massachusetts last year. The penalty for possessing up to 40 grams of marijuana would be just a civil infraction, subject to a $100 fine. In medical marijuana bill news from Montana, House Bill 73 has been tabled in committee. This is the bill that would have expanded the type of healthcare providers who can legally recommend medical cannabis to include physician's assistants and nurse practitioners. Tabling of this bill means it's probably dead in committee for the year. We've got a medical marijuana bill introduced in New Hampshire. A new website is also set up, nhcompassion.org. This is run by the New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy, and the bill is House Bill 648. This bill would allow terminally ill patients to use and grow medical marijuana for personal use if their doctors recommend it. Virginia has introduced a type of a decriminalization bill. It's a bill that would allow one-time marijuana offenders, after 10 years, to be able to expunge that conviction from their record. Boy, talk about the least you could do, but at least someone who got popped one time for possession, let's say, could get their record expunged after 10 years, which would help for getting jobs and clearances and so on. In Texas, they've introduced a marijuana affirmative defense bill, HB 164. Now, a quick lesson for you newbies who don't know what affirmative defense means. That's not exactly medical marijuana. Let's say you're a patient and you're using cannabis to help you stay alive or combat your condition. Under this law, you would still be subject to arrest for your less than 1 ounce of marijuana. If you couldn't make bail, you'd be sitting in a cell without your medicine until court. You'd hire an attorney and pay her a bunch of money, and you'd probably have to hire a bunch of expert witnesses to testify how cannabis helps your particular condition. Finally, you'd get in front of a judge with a prosecutor pressing to get you 6 months in jail and a $2,000 fine. You'd say to the judge, "But Your Honor, I have to use cannabis or I will die," or whatever the condition might be. And if the judge agrees, you're free to go find a way to pay your tens of thousands of dollars in legal bills. Affirmative defense basically means not breaking the law would cause you considerably more harm than breaking the law would harm society. It really is the least that government can do to protect patients. But it may be something that Texas voters are ready for. That's House Bill 164 for medical marijuana affirmative defense. South Dakota has introduced two bills. House Bill 1127 is a medical marijuana bill, and House Bill 1128 is a medical necessity defense, somewhat like the affirmative defense we just mentioned. You can get more information on that at South Dakotans for Safe Access, which can be found through the South Dakota Normal website at sodacnormal.org. Connecticut has introduced medical marijuana and decriminalization bills. Senate Bill 349 is an act to reclassify the possession of minor amounts of marijuana from a misdemeanor to an infraction, again, somewhat like Massachusetts. This would reduce it from 1 year in jail and a $1,000 fine to, if you're possessing 1 ounce or less, a ticket and a small fine with no criminal charges. On the other side, House Bill 5175 is a medical marijuana bill that has been referred to the Joint Committee on Judiciary. This is similar to a medical marijuana bill that passed through Connecticut's House and Senate, only to be vetoed by Governor Jody Rell. For more information on any of these bills, visit our blog at stash.normal.org or just visit norml.org and click the Take Action link. We've got the automated system that'll help you find your state, your representatives and senators, and the information on the bills that we need to fight to help end adult marijuana prohibition. Coming up on today's Stash, we've got our Government at Work segment, and we'll be visiting with Bob Newland from South Dakota Normal on those aforementioned South Dakota bills. Also, in the second interview segment, we'll be visiting with Cliff Schaefer, who's the librarian of the online druglibrary.org and a longtime activist, with a special commentary on the economic nature of the drug war and how we can use the budget crisis at the state level to pressure our government to end marijuana prohibition. All that and a special musical break addressing the stories in the news about these medical marijuana dispensaries, and a look at some of the cable news channels and the misperceptions about marijuana with my responses. It's the perfect time for marijuana law reform, so let's sit back and enjoy your normal daily audio stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases, such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. California state and local cops aided in the Tahoe DEA dispensary raid. South Lake Tahoe, California. Federal agents raided a medical marijuana dispensary in South Lake Tahoe on Thursday. At about 11 a.m., five agents from the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency, joined by members of the California Bureau of Narcotic Enforcement, the South Lake Tahoe El Dorado County Narcotics Enforcement Team, and the South Lake Tahoe Police, served a federal search warrant on Patient-to-Patient Collective, located at 2314 Lake Tahoe Boulevard. Agents seized between 5 and 10 pounds of processed marijuana and a small amount of U.S. currency from the collective, said DEA Special Agent Gordon Taylor. Police made no arrests on Thursday. Taylor declined to comment on additional details of the raid, saying Patient-to-Patient Collective is part of an ongoing investigation. Say, Californians, how do you feel about voting to allow sick people to use marijuana free from police harassment, only to have your state, county, and city law enforcement helping to serve a federal warrant? Don't you just love the idea that your California tax dollars paid for this raid? You helped to take a whole 5 to 10 pounds of dangerous marijuana off the streets of Tahoe. So the Californians who buy hard liquor at the grocery stores and gamble in the Nevada casinos won't have to fear those out-of-control medical marijuana patients. Sure, you could allow the dispensaries to operate and collect their sales tax revenues, or you could just legalize marijuana for all adults and collect the revenues from taxation, law enforcement savings, and a brand new hemp industry, but then you wouldn't get to enjoy your swell state tax refund IOUs this spring, would you? Surfing around the inner tubes, I found that the Fox News channels Hannity and Combs picked up on the Change.org and Change.gov number one questions about legalizing marijuana. This is the 90-second conversation that transpired between Sean Hannity and Alan Combs.
Finally tonight, the Obama website, change.org, asked their visitors to submit their top public policy questions facing Americans and then rank them according to their priorities. So what was the top question for the new administration? Question number one, will you consider legalizing marijuana so that the government can regulate it, tax it, put age limit on it, and create millions of new jobs and create a $1 billion industry right here in the U.S.? Well, think the drug-related questions stopped there? Not even close. More than a dozen of the questions out of the top 50 were related to drug policy.
Good. These are questions submitted by the public. Correct?
Do you want to legalize drugs?
Yes.
All of them?
Absolutely.
Crack?
Not crack.
You I asked you, I said true. Well, would you legalize?
I don't believe
Why
the government
you answer a question? Would you legalize crack?
I would
crack?
Legalize all drugs, period.
Crack, heroin.
Everything.
Acid.
People should not have the government tell them what should be put in their body.
Uh-huh.
We can predict with certainty
somebody's going to be on crack killing somebody.
What
That's
about
okay
alcohol?
With you.
Alcohol is one of the most dangerous drugs. It's
not
legal.
Like crack. It's not like heroin, Alan.
It is a dangerous drug. If you're going to legalize one, you legalize them all. You have the government deciding
here's
what's legal and what's
not legal. If you inject heroin into your arms, it's a little different than having a glass of wine, don't you think?
Of course it is, but you need treatment, and we need to put money toward treatment of these people and curing them. not
That's
arresting
all the time
him,
we have left this
jail.
Evening. Alan's got to take a bong hit. We'll see you back here tomorrow night.
Yeah, legalized marijuana goes right to crack-smoking murderers in the streets and comparisons of injecting heroin versus drinking wine. Alan, you've got the right position, but you expressed it very poorly. The proper answer to, do you want to legalize all drugs, is, I want to end using prison for drug rehab. Don't let a prohibitionist take you from legalize marijuana to legalize heroin. We may indeed support some form of decriminalization for all drugs, but when people hear legalize, they think as available as beer, because it is the only legalized intoxicant they're familiar with. Keep the issues separate. Perhaps with Sean, pot and heroin are as different as wine and morphine. I don't see a problem with making pot as legal as wine, nor with making heroin as legal as morphine. See? Now, when Hannity takes it back to, well, injecting heroin in your arm is a lot different than a glass of wine, that's when you reply with, yeah, but smoking a joint is a lot like a glass of wine, and we learned with Al Capone that making wine illegal caused more problems than it solved. Naturally, since it is Hannity's show, he's going to end it with a swipe like Alan has to go take a bong hit. Not much you can do there, but what I like to do in public when I get the inevitable sarcastic jab like that, I counterpunch with, wow, for a drunk, you don't slur your words at all. The chances are that the jerk drinks alcohol because A, jerks drink alcohol, and B, alcoholic jerks tend to really hate potheads. If he defends with, well, I'm not drunk, you counter with, but you drink, right? I support pot, and you make jokes that I'm high. You support booze, so I figure you're drunk.
Marijuana is an addictive drug, which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Madness.
Ted Nugent wants to be drug czar. Seriously. The Motor City Madman, avid killer of wild game and 70s rock legend, has posted a letter on the Human Events website detailing the danger of the drug war raging in Mexico. In the letter, he asks President Obama to appoint him as drug czar. Seriously. Ted Nugent wants a favor from the same Mr. Obama who, as a senator running for president, Ted Nugent was on stage taunting with two automatic assault weapons, saying,
"Hey Obama, you might want to suck at one of these, you punk! You don't get that, Obama, he's a piece of shit, and I told him to suck at my machine gun, let's hear it for him!"
Have at it, Ted. Why should you be drug czar?
President Obama has stated he will go after the cartels and increase efforts to combat gang-related crime. Good. But he had better be prepared to wage war with them with more than just soaring rhetoric. I am aware there are prominent conservatives who make strong arguments in favor of legalizing drugs. Their argument is that legalizing drugs will take the crime out of drugs. Not only do I not believe that, but I have never been in favor of pouring gas on a blazing fire in hopes of extinguishing it, which is what I believe will happen if we ever are foolish enough to legalize drug use in America. We have all the laws we need to fight drugs. What America needs is the willpower and a renewed warrior spirit to crush evil and evildoers. We need a drug czar who will commit to the American people to stopping at least 50% of the illegal drugs flowing into the country within the first year of the Obama administration. That's the kind of leadership America wants and deserves from its government. Call me, President Obama. Hippies, dopeheads, corrupt politicos, and various other human debris hate me, which makes me the perfect man for the job. As drug czar, I would charge our mayors and police departments to commit to fighting the drug gangs their top priority. Our inner cities will remain war zones until we commit to taking the trash out. I am not naive enough to believe we can ever fully eradicate drugs. However, as America's drug czar, I would put a big hurt on the drug kingpins and consumers like they have never seen. Every American who smokes dope, manufactures, buys, or sells meth, or uses any illegal drugs is aiding and abetting the enemies of America. Case closed. This spiritual inbreeding and cannibalism must be identified, admitted to, and stopped immediately. America can and must do this. Good over evil. Next.
Yeah, because the good over evil, crush evil and evildoers policies of the past 8 years have been so successful. Well, I guess it is good to see Ted Nugent finally volunteering for a war, though I suppose us hippies and dopeheads must be much easier to fight than the Viet Cong. Ted didn't bathe and defecated and urinated in his trousers for a month to avoid the draft, because I suppose there are no 10-point bucks to shoot in Vietnam. While my friends were watching their brothers die in the jungle, Ted was polishing up the songwriting skills that would give us Wang Dang Sweet Poontang. Now my veteran friends are in their 50s and 60s, suffering from pain and post-traumatic stress disorder and using medical marijuana, and Ted tells me they are aiding and abetting the enemies of the country they fought for. Ted, what you really need is a big cup of shut the fuck up.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Tuesday is our look at your government at work here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body dies,
working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org and let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
Pollution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny?
Once again, we're taking a look at our government at work all around the country, and we're going to go right smack dab to the upper middle portion of the United States and look at South Dakota. And joining us now is the founder of South Dakota Normal, Bob Newland. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, Russ. Nice to be here.
First of all, let me let everyone know that if you're interested in getting more information on South Dakota Normal, their website is sodacnormal.org. And for medical marijuana, sodacsafeaccess.net. I'll put both those up on the Stash blog so you can get those links. And the reason we're with Bob today is because we want to celebrate and tell people about the introduction of two bills in the South Dakota legislature, and I'll let Bob tell you more about them.
Well, due to the fact that we had an initiative on the ballot in 2006 for medical marijuana, and we got 48% on that vote statewide, leads us to two unique situations on that issue. First, it's the first time that medical marijuana has ever lost in a statewide vote. Second, it gives us the first opportunity to go to a legislative session with a 48% vote in a statewide initiative. That's a fairly sizable hammer to take to a legislative session, and I've noticed a considerable increase in the respect I'm getting at the legislature as opposed to the last time we went, which was in 2002. I no longer have to speak to legislators' backs as they're walking away from me.
That's good to hear. So we've got a medical marijuana bill that's been introduced. What would be the limits and the specifics of that bill?
Well, we provide that a patient and a doctor decide to embark on a course of marijuana therapy. The doctor gives a patient a written recommendation. The patient registers with the Department of Health and then can possess up to 6 ounces of usable marijuana and up to 12 maturing plants and up to 12 seedlings. If the patient can't or doesn't want to grow his own, he can cut a deal with a caregiver who has the same plant limits.
Hmm. Okay. And as far as will there be a series of qualifying conditions that South Dakota patients would have to register under?
Well, we list conditions that are generally thought of to cause severe pain or nausea. In general, it's the doctor's call under our bill.
Okay, so there's some latitude then for the doctor to decide that marijuana would be a good treatment for just about...
Right. We list some qualifying conditions, but they're just generally for information. In general, if a patient is in pain or nausea, which or loss of appetite, then the doctor can recommend it and patient can use it if our bill passes.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. And this is, let's see, this is House Bill 1127, and we want to encourage everyone to get online. We've got some alerts out at normal.org where you can get involved, contact your legislators there in South Dakota, send a letter, and so on. There's another bill, House Bill 1128, which is slightly different. This one's a medical necessity defense?
Yeah, it turns out that I think I made a mistake by entering both bills. Some legislators didn't want to deal with the detail of a 16-page law, which 1127 is, a comprehensive medical marijuana act. So we just put in a short bill for an affirmative defense if a person were arrested for possession or use of cannabis. I thought that both bills would go to the same committee and would be heard in succession. The same testimony would be good for each bill, and if they killed the longer bill, perhaps the affirmative defense bill would have a chance. What's happened is that they've assigned these bills to separate committees. That may be by design on the part of the Speaker of the House in order to make it that much more difficult for us to be there with witnesses. We'll have to see how this shakes out in the end, but if I have to make a choice, I'm going to promote 1127, the Comprehensive Safe Access Act.
Sure. So are you looking for more patients to testify? Is there ways people can get in touch with you?
Well, they can certainly call me at 605-255-4032. They can go to the website and contact me on one of the email links. They'll have to fight through a spam filter, which isn't very difficult. Yeah, we would like more witnesses to show up and ready to testify in the South Dakota legislature.
So how does it look then at the legislature as far as support for these measures?
Well, we certainly don't have a majority. This bill is very unlikely to make it out of committee, although for the first time I can envision it making it out of Health and Human Services and onto the floor of the House where it will be killed. The vision gets really dim at that point for it progressing past the floor of the House. And even if it made it through both the House and the Senate, the governor is almost certain to veto it. So at the end of the legislative session, all we're going to have is whatever press bump we can get out of the testimony in committee.
But again, making these efforts, though, is going to continue to get more and more support from the people in South Dakota as they hear about these patients' struggles and maybe get some favorable news coverage, don't you think?
I agree with that, and that was our principal purpose in spending the money and time and effort to do this. And along the way, I have contacted quite a few more patients in South Dakota than I had known before, and we're making inroads into the North Central States Multiple Sclerosis Society, which could be a pretty huge deal. There are 2,200 members of the MS Society who reside in South Dakota, and indications are that a third to a half of them already use cannabis.
Well, that's good to hear, and I'm really glad that we're making some progress right there in the center of the country. It's journeyman work you're doing out there, working with some of the most conservative people in the country that really don't know a whole lot about medical marijuana, and they're scared. And it's a great work you're doing out there.
The issue is one in the public. If we had it on the ballot tomorrow, we would win.
Yeah.
And if we choose to put it on the ballot again, we will win. I don't think there is any doubt about that.
That's great to hear, especially after, you know, the 2006 being so close. We really hope we can get something passed in South Dakota. Is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with before we wrap things up here, Bob?
Well, it's certainly possible for people to follow our testimony. They need to go to the state of South Dakota. You need to enter Legislative Research Council in the search function of any search engine for South Dakota, Legislative Research Council, South Dakota. That'll take you to a home page where you can click around and find how to listen to the committee hearing, which should be next Monday or Tuesday.
I'll look that up and get a link for that as well as we post this interview, so people can find it quite easily. It's always interesting listening to the testimony. I've been to testimony a couple times here in Oregon and watching how the laws get made and the way people go through the committees. It can be quite interesting and sometimes quite frustrating.
Well, it's been frustrating, of course, when you listen to witnesses talk to a legislative committee and then the committee kills the bill. You just sit there stunned. How could they possibly do that?
Yeah, right to their face.
and we will have some spellbinding testimony.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And you say next Monday or Tuesday should be the hearings?
That's our best guess right now, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll keep in touch. And if you've got any updates, let me know. I'll make sure to let the Stash listeners know. And we'll keep the pressure on in South Dakota.
Okay, I'm glad to be a part of the Audio Stash.
Oh, thanks so much, Bob. We'll talk to you again sometime.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
¿Es usted o alguien que usted conoce un fumador de marihuana? ¿Ha usted o alguien en su familia sido detenido por una violación de las leyes de marihuana? Entonces, usted necesita saber la verdad sobre la marihuana. La Organización Nacional para la Reforma de las Leyes de Marihuana, conocida como NORML, es una fuente importante de información verdadera sobre la marihuana. También es una fuente de contactarse con un abogado especializado en estos asuntos. Para más información, busque en www.norml.org o llame al 1-888-867-NORML.
Here at the NORML Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Blaxicans bring it with the song Leave Ken Alone, the American Marijuana Music Awards 2008 winner for Best Medical Song. DJ Ignite of Blaxicans had this to say on the recent events in Tahoe and is asking for help for Ken to get the word out. Wow, they still haven't left Ken alone. While this happened in Tahoe, they raided his home again. Ken is a single father of three and has paid his taxes, in a wheelchair, and just trying to make a living like us. I am in charge of his campaign. I want to organize a rally in support of those harmed by illegal raids on our patients and collectives, especially in the Bay Area here in Cali. Thanks for the love. One of Ken's most happiest moments was when we received the award for Best Medical Song and opened it together. Thanks a million. A dear friend of Ken's, Joel, a.k.a. DJ Ignite. This is Blaxicans and Leave Ken Alone.
What in the hell? I know that's not Kenny Estes. Why they messing with him again, man?
Police cars here on the scene where one of the raids took place earlier today. We're trying to find out exactly what Oakland police officers are doing here.
Leave
them
alone.
Federal authorities, as you mentioned, are being tight-lipped about what they were doing during several raids this morning.
He's in a wheelchair. He's in a motherfucking wheelchair, man.
Wow. Can
you believe this shit? You guys need to stop fucking with Ken, man. Scared my kids, why'd you have to kick? In full riot gear, the whole door in. Cut all my plants down, left the stem. If your parents were ill, would you do this to them? Would you take all their pain pills and turn them in? Confiscate their belongings and split them in the end. Vultures are tripping off cannabis. There's cocaine and ice cakes, so find them. You're wasting them federal funded dividends. If you touch one of us, then touch one of them. One day you might ask to be a friend, but I don't trust no one. Have no friends like Houdini. I'll disappear in the wind, roll away in my wheelchair. I'ma win in the end, and as long as there's seeds, I'm ahead of them. If nature cooperates, see you at Oktoberfest.
They filed down the street with their semi-automatic weapons and full riot gear with a battering ram and went in the back door. While the police was pulled up, looking off the street, saw the guns, got back in the car, and took off.
The special agent in charge of the DEA's San Francisco field office revealed little about today's action.
Leave us alone, we're all medical patients. A prescription allows me to grow these babies. If that canine bites, hope he gives me rage so I can slap a lawsuit on the city, maybe. Or maybe not. I got my Glock, might think you're the intruder. Then pop, pop, pop. DEA agents on the spot. Every time they make a bust, does the crime rate drop? I don't think so, not even a little bit. Are you stressed out? Then hit it a little bit. Here, Kush, Northern California Bush. Got medical club cards. We don't push dispensaries throughout the state. What's the difference between trees and them pills you take? Advils, aspirins, and ibuprofens. And I've had no pain since I've been talking.
I'm not at liberty to say a lot about them because they still don't receive it. So all I can say is, you know, I mentioned go after the baddest people.
Ken Estes is apparently one of the biggest and baddest people. He says this property is where he used to grow medical marijuana plants for his Bay Area cannabis.
This is for my folks in that green triangle. Keep on growing at every angle. Glaucomas, cancer, and broken ankles. Migraines and major pains they can't handle. The best remedy simply grows on trees, 100% natural THC. Go ahead, take a puff now, eat it in brownies. That's how we get down to Sonoma County. Mendo and lakes and surrounding boundaries. Get caught trespassing, you can't find them. Quick, it won't hurt, they'll put you in the dirt. And now you know just how it works. But that's not us, we supply the medicines. It's folks like Pomos and indigenous vegetables. Bro, then straight to bloom. If you want to weigh my heart aside, I'll let you in my room.
Now the building is littered with bags of mildewing marijuana and plants with the stalks chopped off.
They said, we're going to have to return to you as one of the people. They went in all my businesses everywhere, took whatever money and whatever marijuana they could find.
Ken says agents not only raided this Oakland building, but a growing operation in San Leandro and his three medical marijuana dispensaries in Clear Lake, San Mateo, and this one in Richmond. He says they also went to his home in Clear Lake, rousting him and his three children out of bed.
They had the guns drawn, from in the rooms. I guess it's a procedure, but, you know, the kids are still shaken up.
In all, Estes says agents seized $150,000 cash, 20 pounds of packed marijuana, and 1,000 plants worth more than $250,000. Estes says he's outraged that federal agents are singling him out. He says he should be allowed to grow and sell medical marijuana because of California's Prop 215, but the feds don't see it that way.
Our stand on this is it's against federal laws.
I'm going to reopen. I'm going to open up maybe not those locations, but I'm going to challenge the government because the federal government is wrong. Once again, the federal government is wrong. They said they weren't going to arrest me or charge. They didn't arrest none of my people. They went into all my businesses everywhere, took whatever money and whatever marijuana they could find.
As a matter of fact, fuck alone. You motherfuckers should focus on that coke and crack and shit that you motherfuckers are letting motherfuckers come and bring in anyway. Killing us and shit. Weed and shit. Worried about weed and shit.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
There are many, many people out there that are helping us to bring an end to adult marijuana prohibition, and I want to bring one on the stash today, a man whose posts I've been reading forever on the internet, but this is my first time getting a chance to talk to him in person. It's Clifford Schaefer, who's the founder of druglibrary.org and marijuanabusinessnews.com. And a keeper of so many documents on the drug war and its history. Clifford, thanks for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, a lot of people are talking about how we're kind of in a perfect storm right now for drug law reform, similar to what we had in the 30s when alcohol prohibition was ended, not necessarily because people got smart about it, but because they just couldn't afford it anymore. And so I wanted you to maybe discuss that a little bit with me about what you feel is this economic impetus we have now to end adult marijuana prohibition.
Well, there's, as you said, it is a perfect storm. We're going into some rather unprecedented times financially. And let me just give you a couple of highlights of what I see. Here in California, as you probably already know, marijuana has been legally on sale for more than 10 years now. There are hundreds of stores openly selling it. They have they advertise marijuana specials in the newspaper. They have regular storefronts and strip malls, and some of them even have neon signs in the window. Well, the really interesting part of that, of course, is that it hasn't really bothered anybody. It's not considered a major problem, even in cities like Los Angeles, where there are literally hundreds of stores selling it. And it hasn't really bothered anybody. The stores sell more than $1 billion worth a year of marijuana, and they pay more than $100 million a year in sales taxes. Sales taxes are the only taxes that apply. Now, this has been going on, and now we reach the budget crisis. California is currently $40 billion in debt for the year 2009. They are cutting essential services such as school lunches for kids, and they're cutting it from kids who, for many kids, it is the only hot meal they get. They are also issuing IOUs to taxpayers.
Yeah,
in other words, if you're due a tax refund from the state of California this year, you're not going to get any money. You're just going to get a promise to pay. Now, the taxpayers in California, I think, are going to reach a unanimous conclusion, and that is that they are going to say that, A, they want their money, and, B, they want kids fed before we waste any more money on flying helicopters to find marijuana in a program that doesn't stop marijuana anyway. I mean, we've got a they're spending billions of dollars a year on this, and this is the largest cash crop in California, an agricultural state. So it's not happening. They're going to run out of money here very soon. By this fall, I would bet that you would see the marijuana helicopters grounded completely.
Yeah, it's an amazing time, you know, and in the past, too, we've had economic difficulties before. And those of us in the reform movement have oftentimes tried to point out how much money is on the table there from a regulated and taxed cannabis market. What can we do as reformers now to make this much more obvious to the people who aren't on our side?
Well, we're going to have a wonderful opportunity because these people are going to be agreeing with this naturally. I don't know what it's like in your state, but most states are going to be cutting essential services. In many states, the unemployment fund has already run dry. We're not even at the end of January, and they're having to get their unemployment funds from the federal government. There was a time when we had the luxury of shifting things around and believing that we still had the money there. This year, everybody is going to be saying no more. And what we can do is simply give people the correct choices. Show them what the choice is. The choice is a choice between school lunches for poor kids or flying helicopters. The choice is between you getting your money that the government rightly owes you, the money that you gave them and they've held all this time, or spending money on marijuana interdiction, which doesn't work. And if you give the people those choices, what do you want? Do you want the helicopters to fly, or do you want your money? And in every case that I've seen so far, they will say, screw the helicopters, give me my money.
You would think so. Now, the other side of the equation, of course, are the politicians who are always reluctant to do anything to look soft on drugs or soft on crime. Do you think we can get enough momentum from the people here to overcome that natural resistance from the politicians?
I don't think this will be a political question anymore. I really don't. It's a political question if you've got money. Okay, you know, it may be a political question on whether you write the check for your mortgage every month if you've got the money. But if you don't have the money, you don't have a choice. From now on, this is going to be run by the bean counters. And the bean counters go by what's on the paper. They go by what's in the bank account. You cannot write a check for something that isn't there. So it doesn't really matter what they want. You just can't write a check for it.
You know, I have a history of working in the corporate world, and I discussed this with you in email as well, about how I see that little pet programs get saved is they get folded into something that's a cannot-kill type of program. So do you think that these politicians, you know, facing this problem with their budgets might try to hold on to marijuana prohibition by folding it into, you know, budgets for meth labs and coke interdiction and such like that?
They probably will. In response, activists should get the numbers together and show very clearly what these costs are. Get a list of every cost of the drug war. Like, for instance, in a few minutes on Google, I looked up the cost of what it costs to run a Bell Ranger helicopter for a day. And then I compared that with figures I found for what it costs for school lunches. And I found that flying a helicopter for one day will provide lunches for 1,360 kids. And it goes really beyond that, because if we have taxpayers who are not getting the money the government owes them, those people are going to be very unhappy, and they understand the argument immediately. With them, it's a real thing. With them, it's not something you can fold into a big budget. They're saying, give me my money.
No kidding. So we might be able to get the politicians here at the state level to recognize that, you know, budgetarily, you know, as far as the budget goes, they just cannot afford to do this anymore. What about at the federal level? It's still going to be illegal federally. And how are these states going to get around that sort of prohibition?
Well, California has already gotten around that sort of prohibition. As I mentioned earlier, there are hundreds of stores selling it here, and the situation is that the federal government just doesn't have enough horses and men to come enforce these laws in any state. Well, you might pick a little state, they might be able to do that, but certainly not within California. They just don't have enough manpower to do it, even under the old budget. So the federal government is really going to have to go along with what the states do. And if the states decide that suddenly they just don't have enough money to put marijuana users through the court system anymore, the federal government really can't force them to do it. And they could do something like California is doing, which amounts to kind of a benign neglect. California just isn't putting that much emphasis on it anymore, and there's no way you can go out and make local Los Angeles cops bust marijuana dispensaries if they don't think they have time for it.
Well, it's very, I guess it's the silver lining in this dark cloud of economic troubles we're having here in America. But again, maybe we'll have a progressive revolution like we did in the 30s. We'll get rid of the prohibition like we did in the 30s. And maybe the bright days are just ahead of us. We can only hope.
I think pretty much at this point it's a foregone conclusion. And it just comes down to numbers. You know, you can talk all you want about how you want to do this great campaign to stop marijuana planting or anything, but, you know, you got to put gas in the tank to get that helicopter off the ground. You know, you got to pay for gas in the police cars, and at this point it looks like they're going to be firing police and putting cars back in the garage. So, you know, this is going to come down to a real hard set of choices. And I think the American public is going to agree with everybody else, agree with the marijuana people, that this is a waste of money. It just can't go on. We just don't have the funds for this anymore.
Well, I can't wait for that day. It's a beautiful concept to think about, that it may just be economics that end prohibition, any, you know, more so than morality or justice or anything like that. And hey, whatever it takes, I'm all for it. Well, Clifford Schaefer is the webmaster behind marijuanabusinessnews.com, and also the founder of druglibrary.org. If you haven't been out to druglibrary.org, get out there. It's all your basic research you need to know about this stupid marijuana prohibition. And Clifford, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Wes.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today once again with a reminder to check norml.org and the Take Action link in the top left corner to check on your state to see if there is some way that you can get involved in helping to end adult marijuana prohibition. If there's not a bill available in your state on that list, call your state representative and ask them why. Why is there not a medical marijuana bill in your state? Remember, the politicians are our servants, not the other way around. We tell them the laws that we want to see,
and we want to see an end to adult marijuana prohibition. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here for the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Until that time, take care of each other, tokers.